Katrina L., senior economist at Moody's Analytics. Katrina, we had the PBOC cutting the triple R in China, and also we had some word yesterday about movements on the property side to end one of its bans on property developers to sell shares and then use that money for a couple of things. One, to pay down debt, or secondly, to actually purchase real estate, with this seen as a little softening on the property market. We're seeing futures trade a little higher this morning on China. Is the mood, I guess the mood is in flux, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, what's happening in China is that because of the enduring zero COVID policy, we're seeing that policymakers are having to continue to release monetary and fiscal stimulus measures. But at the end of the day, these measures can't completely absorb the impact of the economic damage that these movement controls are inflicting. I mean, the pandemic of the past 3 years has really exemplified the fact that it doesn't matter how much stimulus you're going to release. Locking down large cities, or even the ongoing threat of locking down large cities, does have unavoidable economic consequences on household consumption and business investment. And what we're seeing as well from the Chinese government is, while they are releasing stimulus, it is still targeted, and it is still quite limited. They're not going gung-ho when it comes to trying reinvigorating the economy and really trying to stabilize domestic demand. They're taking that more piecemeal approach as well, which means that stabilization, it just really remains elusive when it comes to a domestic demand perspective in China.
How much further weakness then do we see in the growth story? I mean, those industrial profit figures for October were quite weak, down some 3% in the first 10 months.
So we're looking at the fourth quarter is going to be another weak one. I mean, October and November have been particularly challenging in China. As you say, the industrial profits figures are weak, but we're also seeing, the manufacturing PMI data. That's likely going to be another weak one for November. And the PMI has actually been a pretty good barometer of what's happening on the ground in China. And it does show that the significant challenges that they're facing at the moment, not just from a domestic point of view, but also we're starting to see the weakness emerge really from the export channel as well. And that export channel was an important support earlier this year, but that really is fading, with weakness in Europe and, to a lesser extent, the US materializing.
We've been talking about the COVID protests in China, the impact to global growth there. And also just wanted to get your thoughts on what we heard from the Fed Reserve Vice Chair, Lael Brainard, because she said this string of supply shocks is keeping these inflationary risks high too. And certainly what's happening in China, and we've seen that with the Foxconn plant, is just going to exacerbate a lot of these supply shocks globally.
That's exactly right. But I think at this point, it kind of remains to be seen how damaging the protests in China will be to kind of supply chains continuing to normalize. I mean, we have seen supply chains have kind of eased quite significantly in the past couple of months, so we're not seeing those same sort of blockages. So there is certainly a threat coming from those protests in China, but it does remain to be seen how damaging, if at all, we're going to really see an impact from those protests.
I mentioned that policy was very much under the microscope in China. Is there a policy move that you'd like to see that hasn't been made yet?
I mean, I guess what I would like to see from an economic perspective is knowing how damaging the zero COVID policy is, continuing with it. It is economically damaging in itself. So I guess continuing to move away from that, I think would really help the domestic demand stabilization in China. I mean, the more we go into the ongoing movement controls, I mean, the more frustration you can see from households and from businesses. So there really is that strong need to move away from that. While we continue with the ongoing movement controls, I don't think it matters how severe or how gung-ho policymakers go on releasing stimulus, it's really not going to overwhelm that zero COVID policy.
What did China's woes mean for other potential manufacturing hubs in the region and growth there, the likes of Vietnam, the likes of seeing more growth in India too?
So what we're seeing is that, I mean, the pandemic has really taught us that it's important to diversify supply chains. And I think given the protests that are happening in China and the threat again to supply chain management, it's really going to further entrench that trend that we need to continue to diversify supply chains, not rely on one single market. I mean, even though China remains the dominant manufacturing hub in the region, but also it still remains an important hub globally as well, I think it's really going to cement businesses' plans to continue to make sure that they're not disproportionately exposed as much as they previously have been to one particular market.
We don't often have guests talk about Hong Kong because while it has a huge stock market, it doesn't have a huge economy. But let's talk a little bit about it. I see in your notes that you talked about the peg and the fact that that will remain. One interesting thing about Hong Kong is that it is part of China, and most of us who live there got mRNA vaccines, either from Moderna or from Pfizer. And yet China has not used its contracts with BioNTech, for instance, to deploy them. Do you think that is possible? And how does that relate back to whatever model Hong Kong offers?
Yeah, I think it's important to, I guess if we're looking at Hong Kong, what we have seen is that because Hong Kong has been able to significantly ease the movement controls there, I mean, we're seeing that kind of sustained recovery in domestic demand. But when it comes to China, because they don't have that same sort of vaccination coverage, that's what's really kind of hurting the reopening plans, I guess. And so that's what's, I guess, keeping China behind the curve when it comes to moving on from the pandemic, because for them it's still really the front of mind top policy concern, and it's still the concern for consumers and businesses. But if we're looking elsewhere across the globe, most places have really moved on from that. So I think the vaccine sort of supply issue is something that will continue to come up while China's resisting the endemic living stance.
Katrina, always a pleasure. Thank you for your insights. Katrina L is senior economist at Moody's Analytics, joining us from Sydney here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.